Hi, everyone. My name is Ethan. I'm with Weld Group. This summer, my main project is to build a high-temperature atomic beam source. This project is in collaboration with Los Alamos National Lab. The people there are working on ways to find out evidence of nuclear weapon testing and production by detecting unnatural enrichment of certain isotopes like uranium-235. The way to do that is to use atomic spectroscopy. They can get a very accurate isotope ratio from just a small amount of sample in just seconds. And this is how it works. First, you vaporize the sample and form it into a beam, and you pass lasers through it, and the photodiodes on the other side will read out a spectrum that can tell you what's the isotope composition of that sample. Now, they already built this part, so all we need to do is to build this a somewhat portable beam source so they can carry the whole system around to do field tests, peacekeeping, or preventing nuclear war, something like that. Now, please allow me to introduce you what's atomic beam source. Basically, it's a device that can heat things up and shoot it out in relative straight line like these. Though they come from a low or medium temperature source, so they are relatively simple. While this one is a typical beam source that can operate in high temperature, something like 2000 Kelvin. I do apologize for this schematic, it's hard to read, but don't worry, I will roughly describe it for you. So in the middle is the crucible where you put in the sample. And around that are heating wires made of nichrome. And around that are layers of molybdenum heat shields, as well as a water cooling system. Notice there are also heaters and shields around the nozzles to preventing atoms from blocking the exits. Now, the whole thing is very complicated and it requires all kinds of rare materials. So I can't possibly build this in the summer. So we set our goal even higher. We want the temperature to reach about 3000 Kelvin. It's a temperature where you can get a good vapor pressure for really most of the elements, including molybdenum, which was used as heat shield in here. So yeah. And to make things even easier, we still want this thing to be portable so they can carry it around. All this would be impossible if we wanted to run for an extended period of time. But fortunately, we don't have to. As I mentioned before, the lasers are quick and can get results in just seconds. But still, it's a difficult task. And Professor Weld's solution to this is to use graphite, which is a really fantastic material that can withstand a temperature as high as 4000 Kelvin. And what's more important is that it's conductive, but still have some resistivity, so you can heat it up just by passing through some relative small current. Though, as we find out later in the experiments, it's not as high as we wanted, but I digress. The real problem is it's really fragile. And I will explain why I write it here twice in a minute. Now, to the design of our crucible and heater, or we will just call it crucible here. As you can see, it's really simple compared to the one before. And it's really small. It can fit in the palm of my hand. And the middle thin part only has a cross-section area of about 4 millimeters squared. So it will heat up very quickly because of its low heat capacity and high resistance. There are two holes inside. It's not very clear. One at the back is where we put in the thermocouple to monitor the temperature. And the one at the front is where we stuck in the sample. Now, the tubular interior also acts as a nozzle to collimate the beam, as shown in this simulation result from a paper published by a Weld Group a year before. And now we clamp this whole thing down at the two sides where the temperature is not so high that it will melt the stainless steel, as shown in this simulation. This is a very rough simulation I did at the very beginning of this project. As you can see, it's only passing through 60 amp, and we can get this result. And real life is not going to be this ideal. And this is what we got. We machine our crucible in between. It's a bit difficult to see. Using these two mounting blocks, very, very simple. And in between, this is a 150 amp power feed through. We later add this ceramic piece to straighten out all these copper pipes so they won't apply stress on our precious, precious crucible. And we put the thing into test in this chamber we built. It's connected with a turbo pump that can put the whole chamber under a high vacuum where the main free path is about 100 meters, so particles are not likely to interfere with the beam. And we hook it up with this stack of power supply in parallel that can provide a current totally in 150 amp. That's pretty scary. And at the top, in this T, we have this glass disc that can slide up and down. It will tell us how collimated our beam will be. And this one is just a glass window where we can see the pretty glow from our heating crucible. And here is our pretty glow. So we used about 50 amp there, 90 amp, and about 150 amp. As you can see, it goes from red to orange to almost white. So it's really hot. And we actually just got this one because the third power supply just came in this week. So we will soon be able to test on samples like copper and iron, or even molybdenum, maybe. Then, do you remember I mentioned how vulnerable the graphite is? Well, because of that, the machining cost is really high. It's so high that when I'm handling this, my hand can't stop trembling. And this is what a shaky hand can cause you. And this leads to the problems we have with this project. As I mentioned, the resistivity is not as high as ideal because there are a wide variety of graphites. And unlike other materials, graphite's resistivity will drop as the temperature rises in this range. It will rise again, but this is quite a trough we have to go break through. And after that, it's a good feedback loop where you raise temperature, raise the resistivity, raise the power. So yeah. And we are right now somewhere near here. We don't know for sure because we haven't stuck in our thermocouples yet. There's some problem with the chamber is a bit small and we keep shorting the main power. But this should be solved relatively soon. Another problem is the formation of eutectic system between the graphite and the samples we put in, as shown in this phase diagram. Before the melting point of iron that's there, it will actually eat out. It's actually before a point where you can get good enough vapor pressure. It will eat out part of the carbon. It's not huge. It's something like 4 or 5% in weight. But since our crucible is so delicate, it's something we have to be very cautious about. In conclusion, we have proved this idea of building a simple but powerful beam source is using graphite is definitely doable, even though there are still problems here and there and things like contact resistance to improve on. We are confident that we will be able to gather data about how this source performs soon enough. And in this fall, we will be shipping this source to our collaborator at Los Alamos National Lab, where they will do further tests with things like radioactive materials and something like that. And that's all. Thank you for listening.
Could you describe more how this source will be used to detect radioactive material?
Okay. Well, so this is like the part where they do the work, but I guess I can elaborate a bit. So the source, what it would do is just vaporize the thing. So the atomic spectroscopy have to do with samples in a gaseous form. So we have to vaporize it, and we need to form it into a beam. So the laser and the velocity of the gas is in 90 degree. So there won't be Doppler shift, so it will be easier to detect.
Okay, maybe I didn't phrase this correctly. So if you have an atomic beam source of some material that you are vaporizing, how does this interact with a radioactive material?
So the radioactive material will be unnaturally enriched in the environment when they do some bad things, and so they will leave evidence in the things like soil or maybe dust, things like that. So you're just putting some of that soil or dust into the crucible and heat it up and vaporize it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Was graphite an immediate choice, or were there other things that you guys considered?
Well, we thinking about things like tungsten, things like tantalum. So they are all very expensive, and they are, even though they are like relatively stronger than graphite, but they have to be very thin to be have a good resistance. So we think graphite is relatively a better choice. But yes, as a fallback plan, we do have like things ready if this doesn't work. But things like, it seems like this one works pretty well. Yeah, thank you. Well, ceramics problems is that it's not conductive enough. There are some conductive ceramic, but they can stand temperature higher than something like 2000 Kelvin. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?